Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
After falling for 2 days, Facebook stock has slowly started to creep back up to the price it was on its IPO day last Friday. Some shareholders are relieved to see the price going back up, but for other people, they feel the real damage is really already done.
It's an incredible disappointment, and I think as more and more things come out, you're going to see how many problems there were associated here with the deal.
That's Dennis Palkin. He is a plaintiff in the lawsuit against both Facebook and Morgan Stanley. They both allege that the company's IPO documents contained misleading assessments and omissions about the real financial state of the company. And in addition to those lawsuits, and there's been three filed, there's also a subpoena from the Massachusetts Secretary of the Commonwealth, William Galvin, that's been issued to Morgan Stanley on Monday about its handling of Facebook's IPO. Peter J. Henning joins us now. He wrote about this entire issue for the New York Times Deal Book. He's a professor at Wayne State University Law School. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you for having me, Celeste.
Help us to understand what's at issue here. There's three lawsuits. There's lawmakers in D.C. that are looking into it. As you heard, there's a lawmaker there's an official in Massachusetts looking into it. How many issues are at play?
Well, there are three strands to what's going on here. The first strand is the investor lawsuits against Facebook, Morgan Stanley, the other underwriters, and all the directors of Facebook, including Mark Zuckerberg, for their disclosures in the IPO documents, the very thick documents that have to be provided to all investors. The second strand, there's an investigation by Massachusetts, and the SEC is certainly going to be looking at this, involving disclosure by analysts at the underwriters at Morgan Stanley and other firms as to whether they told only selected clients. And then there were issues when Facebook first came to market that NASDAQ couldn't process the orders. And there's a lawsuit against NASDAQ. So there's a lot going on here when this high-profile company ends up having a rather disastrous start.
And well, let's talk just about that one allegation that it wasn't fair to tell only certain investors about the downward revision in Facebook's earnings projections. Research analysts are not required to share their work with the wider public. And in fact, the rules governing the IPO allow analysts to confer only with particular clients. So maybe it wasn't illegal. But I wonder if part of the problem here is that these rules are outdated, that some of these were made before the days of retail investors and day traders.
Well, these rules go back to the inception of the Securities and Exchange Commission, but the most recent revisions were around 2002, 2003, when there were all sorts of problems with analyst conflicts of interest. They were being pressured to put out rosy views on companies that their employers were underwriting. So what you have here is a situation where the information can't get out by the analysts, can't get out to the general public, but they are allowed to tell selected clients. So it's really more a matter of fairness in this situation that, you know, should they be allowed to tell only some clients? Of course, what firms do is they sell what their analysts provide, and they view this as a profit center, a way to make money. So certain large investors get the benefit of the insight of some analysts before retail investors. That's a classic division on Wall Street between the large investors and the small fry. And as is usually the case, the small fry end up on the short end.
Well, it's the small fry. It's kind of your classic 99 versus 1% division here. There's a lot of people who are day traders who go to retail investors and feel as though they're shafted because they're not part of this sort of Wall Street elite group. Is that a fair characterization or is that a stereotype?
Well, both. certainly because, you know, if you're the small investor, doesn't have the advantages of the large institutional investor, the mutual fund giant, the pension fund. They're not going to be catered to. They're not going to get all the insights simply because they don't bring the kind of volume. Do they deserve it? Well, you know, in a perfect world, I guess you would have perfect information, too. And that's certainly not the case. In fact, that's part of investing, is taking advantage of a particular informational benefit that one person has. So, this isn't anything really new, but certainly when you have a company like Facebook that's as popular as it is and well-known, this really puts it into focus. You know, what are the benefits that are given to the large investors over smaller ones?
We're speaking with Peter J. Henning of Wayne State University Law School, but there are many people who feel this is going to be a hiccup, that Facebook stock will get back up above even eventually its IPO price, that Morgan Stanley may reimburse some people, but for the large extent, business will begin to move on and nothing will change. That this exact system of informing some large investors about downward revisions and others not will continue.
Well, the system isn't going to change, at least not in any radical sense. And will large investors have an advantage? Yes, certainly that'll be the case. And will we remember this even a year from now? If Facebook shares are at $50, then some investors certainly are not going to be happy, but it's unlikely to be noticed. This is, in a sense, kind of an initial black eye for Facebook. And in the long view, the question is, can this company perform? And, using their own language, can they monetize all the people who are coming to their website and generate profits out of it? That's the crucial issue.
Let me go back to what you just said. Despite all of this legal thing, all of these legal issues going on, the lawsuits, the investigations on Capitol Hill, you think that nothing will change? Rules will not change and regulations will not change?
I doubt it, because these rules are in place for every company and have worked fairly well. There are always informational advantages and disadvantages on Wall Street, so the likelihood of change and getting the SEC to change it, or in an election year, getting Congress to change any of these rules, is certainly an open question. And you have to ask, what would be the cost of these rules? What would be the impact of it? Would it discourage companies, underwriters, from conducting the kind of analysis that would be helpful to the market? So, whenever you talk about informational advantages, someone is going to have an advantage, and it's really a question of trying to limit unfairness. And it's not clear to me that there's that much unfairness here. Certainly, a number of retail investors were harmed by this, but they do have a way to try to address this through the various lawsuits.
Peter J. Henning writes White Collar Watch for our partner, the New York Times Dealbook. He's also a professor at Wayne State University Law School. Peter, thanks so much.
Thank you.